Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready, because my name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. And thank you, folks, for pouring yourself a cup of coffee, tea, whatever your beverage might be, and pulling up a chair, pulling up a stool, and joining the conversation right here on Coffee and Capitalism Radio, a place where we have exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who are driving our economy, from CEOs to small business owners to mentors to people that are involved in the day-to-day operations of industry and the inner workings and mechanisms that we call the economy. Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. Here at Coffee and Capitalism, we are about making money and giving back. We learn the fine art of balancing work and family life, all while prioritizing your time. And what a fantastic program we have in store for you today. Kunal Patel with the Federal Reserve of Dallas, he talks about their energy report for the first quarter. And if you are in the energy industry, it is looking good for this year. Also, Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist with the National Federation of Independent Business. We sit down and have a little chewing the fat session about the ebbs and flows and ups and downs of the economy and industry. And then we talk with Tony Woswick of Fully Loaded Wrestling. And he talks about how much the business of pro wrestling has changed over the last 10, 20 years and training of sports athletes, entertainers. They go through quite a bit in order to become in the independent scene. So even the independent circuits are now getting to where the athletes need to have proper training before they can enter the squared circle. And then our multimedia kidpreneur, Otis, he sits down with U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer to talk about how the government can help young entrepreneurs like Otis with their future. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own, where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Kunal Patel with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Excess oil and gas, we'll start there and then go into the more specifics of the report, if you would.
Definitely. So let me give you a little bit of background about the survey itself, and then I'll go through like the main headlines in it. So every quarter, the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, or also known as the Dallas Fed, we publish the Dallas Fed Energy Survey. It's a survey of upstream oil and gas firms in our district, and our district includes Texas and parts of New Mexico and Louisiana and parts of Louisiana. And so this past survey, we had 150 different firms respond to our survey. And generally in the past, we've had between 135 firms and 150 firms. It's available on our website. The first release was back in the first quarter of 2016. And again, it's quarterly. The main headline for this recent survey is that activity in the oil and gas sector grew vigorously over the past quarter. We have a variety of quarter over quarter indexes. And the main highlights was that, you know, firms reported continued growth, improved outlooks, and modest increases in employment. To provide an idea on growth, You know, our activity index came at the highest level since the first quarter of 2017. And this expansion is leading to increased employment, but it's also pushing up wages and other costs for firms.
Pushing up wages and other costs. We've heard so much about streamlining and efficiency and that sort of thing. And, you know, here we're talking about pushing up wages and costs. Is things catching up? Or talk to me a little bit about the pushing up the wages and the costs. Do you know what's driving that?
So definitely when you look at the employment indexes, they were all positive this quarter. And a lot of times when they're positive, it means expansion. So it's pointing to more jobs, longer hours, and potentially increased pay. Right now, there's a variety of, we have a section of comments which come from the executives on our survey. And some of them are talking about labor shortages. Some of them are talking about trouble finding workers. And the indexes essentially just suggest that there are wage pressures. So wages may be going up. And then on the cost side, as many of us have heard, there's the potential for higher oilfield services costs. So our indexes show that the input cost for oilfield services has been actually jumped significantly. And then the index for prices received for these firms only rose moderately. So there's, you know, it may be that the oilfield services firms, their costs are rising faster than the prices that they're able to push on to their E&P services. But in the end, you know, there is some kind of pressure on cost. And this is probably on the oilfield services side and also on the E&P side.
Well, we've been tracking for the past probably year and a half is we've noticed the change in the overall employment from, you know, technology's obviously changed a lot of the different workers that you see at the wellhead. There's a lot more engineers involved, a lot more safety compliance. It seems like a lot of the energy worker has changed so much. This brings a whole new layer to that I had not really thought about, which is the wages. And how that probably, with the new workers that have come in, have probably rippled into, you know, where we have impacted some of the wages and that people have seen. Have you guys talked or noticed that at all? When you take a look at the jobs, how much they have changed within the industry? Or are you guys mostly focused on the raw numbers?
A little bit more on the raw numbers. I mean, most of these are indexes. And firms pretty much say that, hey, look, have our wages been going up, or have they been going down, or have they stayed the same? And so more firms reporting that the wages are going up rather than going down. And so our index comes in positive quarter over quarter. There definitely is, like you said, there's a lot of innovation. A lot of these firms kind of buckled down, you know, when prices came down. And now that prices are up, they've continued to keep the innovation. They have continue to add additional technology, but you know, the wages may be just a little bit of a story of the fact that, like, right now they are in expansion. Unemployment is really low in the oil patch, especially in the Permian Basin.
To listen to the full-length interview with Kunal Patel with the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. Meridian Energy Group.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business.
The small business sector, first of all, is the R&D for the economy.
Great.
Anybody who's got a new idea about a product or a service or how to do something better, whatever, you start it out there. And if you're right, you're rewarded with profits. That funds your growth, right? Mm-hmm. People copy you, so you get more firms.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wrong, well, you know, you fail, and we have that all the time. But we don't lose you. We don't lose the building you're in. You know, so if your Chinese restaurant failed, you reopen it as a French restaurant, same chef. You know,
I get it.
But
yeah.
You keep using the resources until you make money, which is the signal that you're using the resources well. That's the strength of the U.S. economy. That's how we allocate resources. So it's always very dynamic. And we forget, of course, that all these big firms started off small. I mean, Microsoft started off as, you know, one person. Walmart started off as one store, right? And they did things right. And so that's what we got. But the other thing we forget about is that Walmart was not the only store trying to do this. There were a lot of firms trying to do an operating system, right? And they didn't make it. But over years and years of all of this trying to get it done, tens of millions of people got jobs, on-the-job training, got skills. So just the dynamic of the small business sector employs tens of millions of people. If you look at it steady state-wise, small businesses, defined as those with 500 or fewer employees by the SBA, employ over half of the private sector workforce and produce half of the private sector GDP. So small business is really big business.
Small business is really big business.
Yeah. Those big firms are selling around the world, mm-hmm. which our small businesses can't do. So they're doing very well. Let's say they're growing at 4%. Small business sector isn't really going anywhere, especially since it dominates the service sector and consumer spending on services has been very, very slow. So we're not growing much at all. So let's say zero. So zero plus four divided by two is 2% growth. That's what we've had since the recovery started, 2% growth. And until we can get the small business sector back to life, hiring people so we can get the unemployment rate to fall, you know, we're going to have sluggish growth.
In your opinion, how important is the energy sector to small business?
Well, there are. It's important to small business, but to the economy. I mean, there are two kind of bright spots in the economic outlook. Housing,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're coming from housing starts of only 500,000 after we were at 2.2 million. Mm-hmm. We fell all the way to 500,000. We're back. So maybe we'll do a million at an annual rate this year. So that'll create a lot of jobs that we lost back in the housing. The other is energy. Energy is an incredible bright spot. And although a lot of it is focused out here, kind of in that strip from Texas to up to the Canadian border, there are other places that have, like Western Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and so on. So
California.
California's got, you know, if they can just get out of their own way,
develop
these resources. So it's going to be really wonderful. And so right now, lots of jobs could be created if we get the Keystone approval. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, moving the energy is really important, the raw material. So we can easily become energy independent in a decade or so. That doesn't mean energy is cheap. It means that we would just be buying most of what we use, oil, gas, whatever, coal, mm-hmm. right here in North America. And that would be really cool.
What does that mean to be energy independent in a global economy?
Well, what it means is that you're buying everything here. It's independent. Didn't say cheap, right? And the natural gas thing is a great example. Natural gas in the United States sells for about $3 an MCF. But in Europe, it's 13. Now, look at oil. The price of oil, a barrel of oil, is the same kind of everywhere. Well, the difference is everybody can export and import oil. So all the producers can export and people can buy it. We can't do that with our natural gas. We don't have any way to export it. So you can understand that over the next 10 years, there'll be a lot of money to be made, and we should do this in learning and getting set up to export this natural gas to mm-hmm. customers around the world. Their price will come down, our price will come up, and natural gas in a decade, say, will be like oil, kind of the same price everywhere. That's what you have in a big competitive market. And the process of doing that, of course, is going to be wonderful for the U.S. economy, and particularly, you know, states that have all of this energy to be developed.
North Dakota being one of them.
North Dakota is wonderful.
I wanted to ask you about the gas before we get into oil. Natural gas. Ken DQ Bellis, he's a CEO of Black Ridge Oil and Gas. He was a former Exxon executive. Told me that the petrochemical industry is putting $20-30 billion into importing, exporting refineries, something like that. That's what you're talking about here.
That's right.
What do you make of that as far as the amount of money, the amount of investment? Is that going to bring natural gas to the oil, gold, silver, where it's a universal price?
I think so. I think, again, we just have to have a free market where it's traded. Right now, lots of people would love to have our cheap natural gas, but we can't get it to them. So just internally in the economy, we have to build the delivery system, the pipelines and so on to get that done. We also have to change our technologies for cars and vehicles in the sense to, and then get gas stations where you can get natural gas, not gas, right? All of that is, and of course, that's wonderful for jobs and growth and so on. In the meantime, companies that really use petrochemicals want this and can't get it, so they're going to come to us. So if you look at the building that's going to go on over the next 10 years of new companies here that make stuff that uses petrochemical, particularly natural gas fertilizers, all these kinds of things, that's going to bring a lot of new companies here to the U.S. And again, that's going to contribute to job growth and growth in our GDP, and that's really good news. Especially for North Dakota. But North Dakota is going to see some of those plants, but they're really going to get it out and then send it somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so we a lot of work and jobs will be in putting those pipelines in place.
The gold rush back in, I forget the year, in South Dakota, they say the people who sold shovels made the money.
Exactly.
You work with a lot of independent and small businesses. Historically, oil booms are going to produce shovel salesmen, whatever the shovel might be. Are there any businesses that historically stand out, like the shovel business, with an oil boom, whether it be natural gas or energy? You know what I mean? Small business thrives in
it. Yeah. Well, most of it is more of the same. That is, if you go to North Dakota, where you find they're short on housing, short on places, motels and hotels, short on restaurants, short on barbershops. I don't know if
service.
Those guys get haircuts. Right.
Yeah.
The sector that small businesses are really good at. I mean, we build most of the houses and we cut hair and we do. So it's really more of the same that you have to have. Now, there's some specializations. Like you have a large number of guys who've made a lot of money carrying water used for fracking, So there's some specialized businesses that you'd have a lot more water carriers in North Dakota than you would have in most states. So some
sand
of it's specialized. Right, but most of it is, pretty much just more of the kind of fundamental support services that that any collection of people have to have.
So I see what you mean, because it depends on the technology that goes
shovel,
into it.
Right, and so...
Okay, former Governor Ed Schaefer calls the Bakken a technology boom as opposed to an oil boom. What do you make of that statement?
It is a technology boom, and then first of all, doing all of this with the fracking and all, that's been a big technological development. It's been around for a while, but it's really been refined. The second thing, of course, is that once there's money in it, this is the way markets solve problems. Technological advance moves much faster because there's a payoff to solving problems. So markets don't solve problems until they're worth solving. And this one is, those kinds of issues are now worth solving. So finding out how to get the gas and the oil and everything out cheaper, better, with less damage to the environment, those all have big payoffs.
To listen to the full-length interview with Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Honey, you came in. The tide came in. Honey, you came in. The tide went out. Honey, you came in. The tide came in. Honey, you.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Viridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Tony Woswick of Fully Loaded Wrestling. You're going to get some interaction from some of the heel or bad guy wrestlers. Am I kind of right on that?
Yeah, and, you know, once in a while, things get a little out of hand. That's happened, but we always try to make sure that the vulgarity is kept to a minimum so that it is good for all ages. You know, we don't want to have some parents bring their kids in and then be surprised by an F-bomb or something like that. That's never what we're going for.
Sure. And, you know, one of the nice things about what I've found about going to bringing my son, 11 years old now, I've brought him to professional wrestling events since he was probably 3 or 4 years old. And the thing that he really likes about it is it's one of the times where he can really shout and not get in trouble. He can really be a part of the show and not get in trouble for being too loud and boisterous. And have you found that the teenagers and the college kids really enjoy being part of the show?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, our crowd, they definitely get involved in the show. They make lots of noise. I don't remember who said it, but recently I heard somebody say, you know, professional wrestling is one of the only places kids get to yell at adults and not get in trouble. So that's a lot of fun right there by itself.
Oh, yeah, that's the part I really love about it. See, by the way, we've got Tony Woswick, Fully Loaded Wrestling. We're talking a little bit about the business of wrestling, kind of some of behind the scenes a little bit. Not getting into the storylines or anything like that. You can check out his website and their video television product as well. My cousin, Brad Rangins, he's a former Olympic athlete, amateur wrestler, but he went on to be in the AWA, and very few people probably know who Brad Rangins is, maybe outside of Appleton, Minnesota, and Minneapolis. Are you familiar with him as a wrestler at all?
I'm not, but I guarantee some of the people we work with are. I mean, we have some real historians that we work with, so if I ask, I'm sure I'll hear about him.
Yeah, he kind of had a cup of coffee with the WWF back in the day in the AWA, Vern Gagne. He actually made more of his success as a trainer. He trained Rick Rude and Vader, Big Van Vader, a lot of the Minneapolis talent either went to Eddie Sharkey or Brad Rangins, and then they went on to do quite a bit beyond that. But the reason I kind of bring that up was the training aspect of things. Are your guys, do they go through any sort of training at all? Are they self-trained? You got a combination of both? Just talk a little bit about the educational process that these performers have to go through.
Yeah, as far as that goes, we have kind of a requirement that there is at least a year or so spent in a training environment of some kind, whether it be through seminars that we provide or a camp or things like that, because we want to make sure everything's being done safely. I mean, obviously, you know, we've got insurance and whatnot. We don't want anyone to get hurt and, you know, seriously injured. I mean, there have been some horrific injuries in wrestling over the years. And unfortunately, just recently, there was an untrained guy down in Missouri, I think it was, that ended up losing his life because of wrestling untrained. And it was just as bad. So we want to avoid all that at all costs. And as a great byproduct of all that safety and doing things the right way and, you know, training properly, we get a better product out of it. We don't get guys that, you know, can do a backflip on a trampoline and that's as far as their training went and get in the ring. We make sure we have top quality talent.
You know, I kind of chuckle with Blind Joe. He's a good friend of mine. He's been on the program multiple times, and he went on to be on The Voice. He had a pretty good stay and that sort of thing, and he's now been able to take advantage of that, and he gets some good-sized crowds and that sort of thing. But him and I chuckle back when he used to play in front of three or four people, that sort of thing. And, of course, pro wrestling goes down that way too, professional wrestling, where there's times where, you know, you don't have a huge crowd and other times where you've got a big crowd. And, of course, the dream is to, I suppose, WrestleMania, get in front of 100,000 people, which is a real thing. I mean, they get 100,000 people in the Dallas Dome down there in Texas. And so that's a real thing. What kind of crowds are you seeing? Is it kind of all over the board? Do you have a good base at the different towns you go to? Talk about the crowds that you're seeing at your events.
It's vastly different between Minot and Fargo. I mean, obviously the markets are different. And then within each market, it kind of depends on time of the year and what else is going on around the time. You know, in Minot, we've had anywhere from, you know, 350 to 400 people for a night, or as low as 75. And in Fargo, it usually hovers north of 150 to 200, but sometimes upwards of 4. It's just, there's so many, it's promotions. There's always so many variants that you can never account for, and just hope that your product that you're putting on is compelling enough for people to show up instead of do something else.
How about merchandise? Are you guys selling merchandise? Do you sell merchandise? I mean, is it kind of an independent contract type thing? Talk about, because I know a lot of these guys, that's how they make their money. You know, I mean, they sure, ticket sales are great and everything, but they got T-shirts and autographs and 8x11s, that sort of thing. So just talk to me about the merchandise stuff that's involved.
Yeah, as far as like what the company does, we've got T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, all kinds of novelty stuff, different types of logos and everything on them. A lot of our talent brings things to sell. We've got no problem with them doing that. Our model, we don't take a cut of their sales because we just don't think we need to. It's just that's their stuff to sell and not ours. So everyone does what they can to kind of make the money the best they can for the evening, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, and it's still one of those old school ways of capitalism, in my opinion. You know, where a lot of these guys, I imagine, a lot of these guys are independent contractors. I mean, they don't get 401ks for you guys, do they? I mean, they're independent, right?
Yeah, everyone that works with us is independent contractors, all the way from, you know, the sound production, all the way to our top guys in the roster. It's just kind of the general model of independent wrestling. And most promotions of any kind really is independent contractors. Once in a while, I get exclusive kind of things, but we're not doing any of that right now.
Sure, yeah, and that's really kind of the model of that whole industry, with the exception of probably the WWE. That's really, really about it. And they didn't go that way until they became a public corporation, and that kind of forced them into that model. But okay, just a couple more questions here. Tony Woswick, Fully Loaded Wrestling, based out of Minot, North Dakota, has a different events happening across the state, and we're going to get to those events in just 1 second. But I wanted to ask you about big names. I know a lot of times, you know, when they bring in Hacksaw Jim Duggan or Hardcore Holly, that sort of thing. But then you've got the independents that they rely more on kind of their own guys and getting a crowd base that way. What strategy, I guess, are you guys going with Fully Loaded Wrestling? Do you have to bring in the big guy every time, or do your guys connect with the audience in a way you don't need to?
Well, we work with some of the biggest names in the Midwest, like Eric Cannon, Darren Corbin, a lot of up-and-coming names from the Academy of Professional Wrestling in Minnesota. That school is run by Ken Anderson and Sean Devary, ex-WWE stars. And, you know, through that, we got a lot of good connections. We've had guys like Tommy Dreamer, Booker T, Abyss from TNA, Robbie E from TNA, Sean Devary's worked on our show, like I mentioned, him with the Academy. Ken Anderson's worked on our shows before. Colin Delaney, he was an ECW guy after WWE got a hold of it. We've had kind of run the gamut with it. We got some big things planned going for next year too. So
okay, I know a lot of that stuff based on availability with some of the guys and whether they show up or not too. And that's always the case when you're talking about entertainers. Anyway, but okay, what events you guys got coming up? I was looking at your calendar. I see you got one coming up in Fargo here at the end of September. Just kind of run through the next couple months of your guys' events that you got scheduled.
Yeah, if you look at the website, fullyloadedwrestling.com, there's an event calendar on there. So
to listen to the full-length interview with Tony Woswick of Fully Loaded Wrestling, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
You feel a little dizzy. You're talking kind of silly, like you have plans to save the world. Just remember your task will only last if you don't take off your mask. When the outside's chilly, the inside is warm. Wishing you never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown. Mind blown, your mind blown. I'll show you something that's never been shown. Mind blown, your mind blown, and that's all.
The past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, our Kids and Capitalism feature with multimedia kidpreneur Otis interviewing U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer.
Hello, my name is Otis, and I'm with the Kids and Capitalism KidCast. Today's guest is U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer, and we have some questions to ask him. First of all, what was your first job, sir?
Well, thanks for having me, first of all, Otis. And my first job was as a janitor, basically. I went to the cafe every day after school in Kindred, the Kindred Cafe, and I cleaned the place. I swept the floors, I mopped the floors, cleaned the bathrooms, made sure that all the The ketchup bottles were full, of course, and all the tables were clean. And so I did that when I was 12 years old. It was the first time I actually got paid for a job and where Social Security was withheld.
How important do you think that entrepreneurs are to America?
Well, they're really important. And here's a very important statistic. I didn't know you were going to ask me this question, but if we didn't have startup businesses in the United States, we would have a net loss of jobs. Now, you think, just imagine that. It means most of, in fact, more than the new jobs created every year are created by entrepreneurs, by startups, innovators. So entrepreneurship is critical. Napoleon, who was a famous leader in France, once said the logical conclusion of defense is defeat. So the way I apply that to the economy is that if you have a bunch of really big businesses that are very successful, and you decide one day, hey, we've got everything we need. We've got a bunch of big corporations that should provide employment and economic security forever. You will immediately start deteriorating as an economy. So we've got to have entrepreneurship.
Thank you. Do you know President-elect Donald Trump?
I do know him. I don't know him super well. I didn't know him before he was a candidate, but I have met him and have worked with him on a number of policy issues and have represented him throughout the country these last few months.
A little side question. Was he nice?
He's very nice. In fact, he's a very very curious person. Most everybody who's successful is. He's very charming. You'll hear that word applied to him a lot in person. He's very charming. By that, I mean he's gracious to everyone that he meets. He's even generous in terms of time that he gives people, his attention. He's a very nice man.
Thank you. What are you doing to help my future career as an entrepreneur?
Sure. So there are a number of things. The biggest thing, Otis, the biggest thing the government can do for entrepreneurs is get out of their way. And the biggest mistake the government often makes is getting in the way. So, for example, one of the most important things for an innovator, for an entrepreneur, is access to capital, access to money, right? Well, the government oftentimes provides money, and that's okay. The Small Business Administration and various other agencies that might have grant dollars or what we call benevolent capital to help start up businesses. Those are things the government does to try and help. However, oftentimes the government, along with their help, will bring a bunch of barriers with it or strings that are attached that make it almost not worth taking the money. But beyond that, the government imposes a lot of restrictions and a lot of regulations on business, including startups. But probably one of the biggest challenges right now for entrepreneurs is with regard to capital are the banking laws. There was a law passed in Barack Obama's first term called Dodd-Frank, and Dodd-Frank was intended to sort of rein in the giant banks on Wall Street. And what it really did is it constrained the opportunity for community banks and credit unions and other lending institutions so that it made it more difficult for them to invest in entrepreneurs and in startup companies. So, like I say, the biggest thing the government can do is get out of the way.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
I have no trouble with the treble. There's no breaks in the breeze. It's just you and me. Like we did in the good old days. Yeah, we're singing it like they did in the good old days, because we're back to the way. Oh, well, you feel the breeze. cause we're back to the way. Oh, 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 back to the way. So back to the way. Oh, 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 back to the way. Back to the way. Oh, 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 back to the way.
Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack, when I jump over the candlestick, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market, that you can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children, and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess, and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students, where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.